Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Molly and Hall.
We're trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come.
I think that the Bulls could put together a free agent video and not have as powerful of a presentation as what we saw before the game on behalf of the city. I mean, Chicago, take a bow. Bravo. That was terrific. That was eloquent. It was touching, powerful, poignant. All the words you can use to describe what it was. Everybody was thrilled to be here. From President Obama, Chance the Rapper, Dwayne Wade even was wiping a tear away when he was honored in the pregame. This was a moment that people will look back at from the NBA perspective and the league office and say, that's the model for future All-Star game weekends. And I think that was what's going to make this one of the more memorable All-Star weekends ever.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall.
Your morning guy over there.
Mornings on The Score.
I want to talk about these Cubs and what they're doing.
Just because you spend a lot of money doesn't mean you're going to win. I mean, the fact is that it's not really about how much you spend. It's about where you spend it and getting the right guys on board. We had the highest baseball budget in the league last year, so we're putting resources to work. If we find a place that we can put dollars to work that we think will help us get to the World Series, we do it. It's just they're not infinite resources. We have to, have to manage it, and that's the real challenge.
Okay.
Molly Hall.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Molly. Happy Tuesday.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you after your weekend?
I had Monday off for the holiday.
Yes.
And we had a plan to leave town that never materialized, so I ended up staying around. And I got to tell you, it's a great time.
Happy belated really President's time. Day.
Thank you, my friend. We did a President's Day quiz with our children, and they started quizzing us, and it got a little difficult, but it was fun.
Was it presidential trivia?
I want to get praise.
We went over first, can you name all the president's homes that we visited?
What is the name of the golf club in Florida? Wasn't anything
No, okay. It wasn't modern. Yeah. It was more historical.
That's better.
But there's a lot of, you get confused when you get into some of the historical. There's a whole era of presidents there that you just kind of, from Chester K. Arthur to, I don't know.
I used to have a parlor trick sort of when I was a kid, young kid with it when it came to the presidents. I would memorize them when I was 5 years old.
Right.
And I was fascinated because I used to have these presidential cards that were like baseball cards.
Yes.
You remember those?
Yes, I do.
Those were awesome. And I used to love my, Grover Cleveland and all these, different cards, the obscure ones and Polk and Pierce and everything. And so I would memorize them. And my cousin, who was an older cousin, we would go to these family events and he would bet somebody back in those days, a dollar. I bet you my cousin.
A dollar is a lot in those days.
And I would be ripping them off. I would memorize the presidents because then I would get a quarter of his dollar that he would win.
We had this game called Your America. It was just a board game.
I had that too.
Oh my God.
Oh, I love that game.
That game was phenomenal.
Oh my gosh.
I'm telling you, you could pass any, don't you have to take a constitutional exam or something in order to become a citizen? Just play that game.
Oh, I was just going to say, absolutely fantastic. My daughter's doing the pre-civics right now.
Yeah.
It's there's the PSAT. This is the pre-civics thing that you got to have before you can graduate. And she's like, why do I need all this stuff?
Kind of, it's good just to have it. In your disposal. No,
if you can turn your it into
America,
a game,
that
what
takes
a
me
great
back.
Game that
oh
was.
Oh, my gosh.
My God.
That was
simpler we used time.
To play, simpler time. I'm glad you had that moment.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. Yeah. I used to love naming all the capitals of all the states and stuff like that.
Show
you can
off.
Really do. No, I'm just saying, not like you. I didn't do it for money. It was love of the game.
I was kind of corrupted, though. Yeah. I was five.
I mean, what you're telling me is pretty scary.
I had family members that took advantage of my weird memory when I was a five-year-old.
You're doing some kind of a party trick in Vegas.
I can't remember who came after Lincoln. Stop. I just want to take a nap.
Man. Well,
anyway, speaking of executives.
Yeah, that's where I was headed, but go ahead. Finish your thought.
Tom Ricketts addressed the Cubs.
Yes.
In his annual State of the Cubs address. He spoke to the team, then he spoke to the media. And we talked to Tom Ricketts at the Cubs convention, Bruce and I, on that Saturday. And he said a lot of the same things. The one thing that stands out, and we will get to this later, though, when he was asked point blank about signing both Javi Baez and Chris Bryant and the cape and the possibility.
Yes.
And
that jumped out at you.
It did jump out. Did it jump out at you?
It jumped out at me.
What jumped out at to you about that answer?
Once again, that's in Theo's camp. I mean, that's his decision. We'd have to take a look at what that would all mean for us financially.
Okay.
What jumped out at me was no. That's what jumped out at me.
Not
we'll
today.
We'll get to this though.
Not soon.
No.
Maybe not ever.
No.
Look.
No. That would be a hard no.
When you own the team, or you're the chairman of the team that's owned by your family, let's put it that way to be more accurate.
Okay.
I think that probably the Ricketts family controls how much the pizza costs at Wrigley Field. I think they're going to have a say over pretty much where everybody parks and how long they're able to park there. I think that when you have a hand in every aspect, when you're a family business and ownership, it's not a ridiculous question to ask what you think about signing both stars, which are going to be probably, you know, best estimate, Molly, could that be a half a billion dollars investment in Chris Bryant and Javi Baez between $400 and $500 million?
Probably at least that, right?
I think it's more than a baseball decision.
Yeah.
I think it's an ownership decision.
Right. But I think what he's saying effectively is, well, you know, we've given the guy a budget. So if he can do it under his budget, then he can do it. But at this point, it doesn't look like he's going to be able to do it under his budget.
I think he's probably bracing people for that. You're right. And I'm respectful of that budget. And I think it's just the way that he answered it.
It deflected
the attention from.
Yes.
It was
uncomfortable.
Because I don't really think it comes down to whether or not it is a baseball decision. Again, that's just my opinion. Because any baseball executive would want both those guys on their roster with an ability to maybe build around them. It's just not realistic, probably.
Well, I mean, when you say it's not realistic, everyone believes that it's not realistic, right? So could you do it? Of course you could. But what would you have around them as well, right? I mean, there's a lot to get into with this topic. I find
we need to, because what's around them now are several bad contracts, which are restricting your flexibility and forcing answers like you just heard.
And I think that is the answer to the question. Could you do it? Well, if we hadn't given that guy a terrible deal, and if this guy didn't have a bad deal, maybe we could do it.
Jason Hayward was a baseball decision, signing him to that deal. You know, signing Brandon Morrow was a baseball decision.
These were mistakes that we're talking about.
Yeah. I would chat with baseball decisions.
And you know what? Here's the thing about baseball decisions. You make a ton of them. I'm not going to sit here and criticize Theo for the moves he's made that led to a World Series. You make a ton of them.
Right.
And some of them are just flat out wrong, and some of them, John Lester, are very well done. Now, unfortunately, I think that the Hayward decision was a bad decision. That doesn't mean that they haven't made really good decisions. It means that one was bad. And now you're kind of stuck with it. Now you're living with it after the fact. And it, you know, people are like, oh, well, the World Series won the World. You could easily have won the World Series without Jason Hayward. I don't care what kind of meeting he gave you. You could easily have done it because he didn't contribute anything really that year other than the big meeting.
There was plenty there yesterday.
There was a lot.
We'll get to a lot of it because it's been an active week at Cubs camp. And then over in Glendale, Ricky Renteria.
Oh.
He's talking playoffs. He's talking expectations. He's talking about a quiet confidence in the clubhouse. He's saying all the right things. You're hearing all the good things, and the White Sox are on their way. I mean, I liked hearing what Eloy Jimenez had to say about giving Luis Robert advice. The sage wisdom of a 23-year-old, I think he is, Eloy Jimenez. Wow.
Yeah.
That was fun.
I thought that was great, and I think that I love everything Eloy says, including the possibility of hitting 50 homers. He gave it the why not, which I think is great. You know, he missed a quarter of the season, David.
Yeah.
He hit 31 homers,
right,
and he missed a quarter of the season. That's a lot of games that he missed. So I'm not saying that 50 is reasonable for him, but there's nothing wrong with having goals.
I want him to hit.
Do you think hitting 50 plus home runs is in your future?
Why not?
Why not?
I want him to try to hit 35, and then maybe he'll hit 45, and then maybe we'll talk about 50. That's a big number. It's we don't know what kind of number. Baseball is going to be used.
Well, that's the problem. You know, the ball, we got to wait and see if they're going to use the Minnesota Twins ball or if they're going to do something to curtail it. And while curtailing it, they affect it the other way.
We don't know how well the Gatorade sign is going to be working in center field.
Oh, boy, you are mean-spirited. You know, I've been thinking a lot about that. It occurred to me.
I'm kidding, Sox fan.
I know you're kidding. And I think Sox fans are smart enough to know you're kidding. But I was on one of my extended walks and thinking three things through, and it occurred to me that Rob Manfred is quickly becoming Gary Bettman.
Yes.
Like, he's going to be
booed. That's a good comparison.
He's going to be booed publicly now with these players coming out and talking. First of all, the kind of arrogance that he showed about the whole thing was just tone deaf. Then you had the players starting to criticize him. You're hearing this more and more often. I think that it's going to get to a – Gary Bettman can't go out in public. I mean, I've told the story 1,000 times. The Blackhawks had him there, and they introduced, like, oh, the assistant equipment director, oh, the NHL commissioner. Like, they tried to sneak him in.
He gets booed at the parking garage.
He does.
Yeah. And in trying to preserve the Astros' legacy, Rob Manfred has damaged his own.
Yes, he has.
And I don't know if it's reparable. I really don't know.
You know what's really bad is when players say he's out of touch. Okay, which Justin Turner said yesterday. That's not good.
I've seen this comparison, and I even may have said this last night on television. I don't believe that. How would the NFL have handled something like this with Roger Goodell? And because this is a misstep that I don't know that you recover from, and I just wonder if Rob Manfred's going to. Because the NFL.
It's an interesting question.
If Roger Goodell, he survived the Ray Rice stuff, he survived Deflategate, and I don't know that he stepped in it as much as Manfred has stepped in it here.
This is
and
a
yet
bad
those
one.
Were controversial ones.
Yeah, this is not good. Odds makers think the Houston Astros will be sore this season. They're batters. On Monday, the sportsbook William Hill set the over-under on the number of Astro batters to get plunked this season at 83.5. Wow. How about that for a bat?
Wow, that's a number.
Now, they've already tried, you know, we've already heard them come out and say, you've got to protect our guys because they know it's coming now, don't they?
I'm going over.
They have
over.
A pretty good feel.
I'd go over.
That something's going to happen to them. So I think that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
83.5 times they're going to get hit by a pitch. What do you think of that?
It's a lot of bruises.
That is, man. Bulls back to practice. They host the Hornets on Thursday. Chris Dunn's knee could keep him out all year, as we kind of suspected. I got to tell you, I haven't had a chance to talk to you about the All-Star weekend. Fantastic job. Everybody involved. Just really, the city couldn't have looked better. It was just extraordinary. I was out and walking down Michigan Avenue at one point, and Magic Johnson walked past me. And I was like, wow. That's unbelievable. He walked out of a hotel. He was getting in a car. And I mean, the thing is, like, I've interviewed Magic. I don't know Magic Johnson. But you see a guy like that, and you're like, he's so familiar to you.
Yeah.
It's like you almost are like, hey, man.
Hey,
oh, damn it. I don't actually know you.
I saw you in my living room yesterday.
Well, exactly.
Yeah,
that's right. What I mean. Like, there are certain people that you know so
Magic,
well.
Thanks for the 80s.
You think that, exactly. You just think like, oh, hey, remember that time that you did that? Skyhook when Kareem was hurt, like you turn into that.
That was the cool thing about the weekend, is that it would just, it could not have gone better for the league or the city.
Fantastic.
And in Chicago put its best foot forward.
Oh, it was great. It was really fun. Really, it's really great. We'll get into all of it. We got a lot of basketball to talk about. We've got a lot of big topics. We're going to get to them all. The 5 at 5 is next. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Want to sign a one-day contract with the Chicago Wolves and earn $5,000 in signing bonus? Well, then visit the Sprint Store in Lamont Road in Darien between 1 and 3 this Saturday. God bless you, Kevin.
Thank you.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
What did you make of Tom Ricketts' comments on the Cubs' ability to bring back both Chris Bryant and Javi Baez? Does saying the team does not have, quote, infinite resources mean they're choosing between the two? Is Baez their guy, and why?
It's a fascinating series of questions there, because I believe that what Tom effectively said is that, no, they're choosing between one or the other. What he effectively said is that there are not infinite resources to the budget, and that's a decision that Theo and his group will have to make. In other words, they will have to examine their budget and see what's left and see if they can get both guys signed so they stay under the budget. And I would imagine that would be seemingly impossible. It felt like a hard no, frankly. I guess they are choosing between the two, and Baez all along has seemed to be their guy. And the reason why... probably something to do with the position he plays, probably something to do with his ability to sign. I got to tell you, though, I thought Chris Bryant on Saturday, and I wasn't here yesterday to talk about it, I thought he made a really serious case for himself. And I thought that when you listen to him, if you're a fan of that team,
yeah,
you know, they're telling you to call Comcast and try to pressure them. I might make a phone call to the Cubs and tell them you want to watch Chris Bryant play. I mean, I thought he... when he talked about, have you ever heard me say, first of all, the forthrightness and the force of his words, you don't see that out of this guy. He's not a happy camper, and yet he was very forthright and very, very, I thought, telling you, hey, sign me. Hey, I never saw that contract. I thought he did a great job. So I think they should figure out a way to make their resources more infinite. And, you know, there's nothing really is infinite. Maybe infinite jest and utmost fancy. That's it.
I think you wanted to hear that from Tom Ricketts after hearing from Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant opened the door. I want to be here. I haven't turned down anything.
No shadow of a doubt.
The truth is coming from my mouth. So here's what I'm saying. Cub for life, right? And then you had the basically the guy who was in charge of the budget up there yesterday with an opportunity to remove any doubt, or to at least lobby publicly or prepare people for this idea that we're going after both. He could have said something that would have given hope that was possible to sign both guys, to keep both guys, to build around both guys. And you just didn't hear that. You heard understandable kind of reliance on the budget and nothing. We don't have infinite resources and everything that he said. But it sounded like, no, not now, maybe not ever. And that's unfortunate. Now, we look at the reasons why. It's not because Chris Bryant isn't the ideal person to build a franchise around, or your franchise player health and everything factored in, it's because of the signability. You hit it, Molly. It's not because of maybe Javi Baez playing shortstop, I think, as much as it is because Scott Boras has given you pretty much every impression that it's going to be very difficult. And I also believe it provides context because the Boras factor, when Chris Bryant says nothing's come to me with that kind of an offer, I don't doubt that.
No.
Because Boras has probably kept that from him and probably not been as specific to him. And so Boras, to me, is the obstacle between the Cubs getting a long term with Chris Bryant, because maybe the demands are asking them to have the infinite resources that require them to.
Go back to that part. I think that's very interesting that, you know, the idea that they haven't made a hard offer. I think what happens is you start talking parameters and then you realize, oh my God, like, our offer is going to be this. Well, that's not even in the ballpark, right?
And so Chris Bryant has never sat down and looked at a piece of paper that said formal offer on it.
Right.
You're right, because the parameters never got to that point. Why? I think because Scott Boras doesn't want them to, and because he's not allowing them to. So that's the biggest reason. It's unfortunate, but no. Long answer to the question. You heard Tom Ricketts say, not now.
Well, first of all, regarding Chris Bryant and his session with the media, I guess you call it, on Saturday, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Talked a lot about it on my show Sunday morning. Chris Bryant is a guy who a lot of people, and myself included, had a certain perception of, you know, his first couple of years in the league, you know, maybe not the most interesting or thoughtful or a guy that's going to give you that money soundbite or really be too introspective about things. But over the last year, maybe couple of years, he has definitely, for me anyway, flipped that perception entirely. He's speaking forcefully, thoughtfully. He's speaking very intelligently, and he certainly, I think he's no dummy when he talks about the money in the game and the fact that teams can essentially sign anybody they want to any contract because they're making so much money. I'm paraphrasing. He said, I mean, they make that selling beer at one game throughout the course of the season, you know, $5 million or whatever the Astros fine. He was strong on the Astros as well. But, you know, I think Baez is their guy because he will be cheaper. And I think it's as simple as that. I don't think Javi Baez is a better player than Chris Bryant. He's a better shortstop than Chris Bryant, certainly, because shortstop is like one of the only positions Bryant doesn't play. But Bryant can play first. He can play third. He can play pretty much anywhere in the outfield. He's a much better hitter than Javi Baez. He's a more disciplined player at the plate. You know, Baez's approach is so one-dimensional offensively. You know, if he's not hitting a home run, he's probably not going to be doing a whole lot. He doesn't walk very much. He strikes out a ton. And while he is fantastic defensively, and maybe he's going to show you something you've never seen before at any given moment, you know, I don't know how much more that translates into wins as opposed to what a guy like Chris Bryant will offer you. So if you're starting a team, you'd rather have Chris Bryant. I think almost everybody would agree with that, except some of these Cub fans that I'm sure are going to text in momentarily telling me that, you know, Chris Bryant's no good or whatever, because that's the sour grapes narrative that we've already begun over the last couple of seasons, ever since the rumors started swirling around Chris Bryant that he's not going to resign, they're going to trade him, won't be a Cub for life. People have started to have that cognitive dissonance, be like, oh, he wasn't that good in any way. You know, we got Baez and Rizzo and Contreras and all these guys. We don't need Chris Bryant. Just be careful what you wish for, because when Chris Bryant is in Atlanta or Washington or Philadelphia, wherever he ends up, and he's having a Chris Bryant-esque year that we've seen from him when he's winning MVP awards and playing well in the postseason, Cub fans are going to be very, very remorseful that they ever dismissed this guy and kind of pushed him out the door the way that a lot of them are doing.
Well, I am a Cubs fan, and I certainly don't want to see Chris Bryant leave. Not at all. I want to see him stay with the team. I want to see him be a Cub for life. I would love that. But what I made of Tom Ricketts' comments yesterday, yeah, this is going to be an Bryant or Baez outcome here. It's not going to be both. It's going to be one or the other is what I'm reading into this as well. It's unfortunate that it has to be that way, but I think Baez might be their guy because of the fact that, you know, Scott Boras is representing Chris Bryant. It might become a number that the Cubs are not comfortable with. I hope that's not the case. That would be really sad and ridiculous in my book if that becomes the case. And as Kevin pointed out, Chris Bryant is the better, he's just the better overall player. I wonder if there's an outcome where they talk to both of these guys and maybe something slightly more team-friendly can happen where they are both given a contract where they can stay with the Cubs and everybody's happy. But I just don't think that happens.
That would have to be the team-friendliest deal ever.
It really would. And it might
both guys.
And it might be Javi Baez taking more of a hit than, you know, and not even coming to Chris Bryant with that approach. And I don't know. I don't know if that's even possible. I don't see it coming. So I think it's going to be Javi Baez, and I hope I'm completely wrong about that.
That comment by Tom Ricketts yesterday did also make my ears say, what? Huh? Wait, what's going on? Molly, I think you're right. I think he's been given a budget, meaning Theo. And okay, go ahead. Try to figure it out. If you can get them both back, we'd be thrilled. Theo, you will get something extra in your Christmas stocking if you are able to get both these guys back under the budget that we gave you. Javi is a more exciting player. He's a more ooh and ah type of player. But if you're talking about consistency, like over the course of 162, and if you were saying we're starting a brand new franchise, you can have Javi or you can have Chris Bryant, I think you're taking Chris Bryant.
Yes.
Okay. I think you're taking Chris Bryant. But that being said, I also think Chris Bryant and Chris Bryant's people, they might be like $100 million higher on their evaluation of what they're worth than what Baez is can. Now, don't get me wrong, that Baez would take that money, but I think there are more teams that would be willing to pay Chris Bryant north of 250 than there are teams that would be willing to pay Javier Baez north of 250. So if the Cubs do have these restrictions, then I think they stick with Baez. I don't want to run either guy out of town. That not at all. I want both, but I'm a greedy Cubs fan, right? I mean, I think anybody who had both these guys on their team, listen.
I don't think that makes you a greedy Cubs fan. I think it could make you a smart businessman.
5 years from now, 6 years from now, the guys at 35th and Shields have won a World Series, and they're arguing about which guy to keep and which guy to get rid of. You can only hope that you have this going on, right? That's a good thing to be having this debate. But the system is really tough, and it's not about it's about the draft picks, and there is a cap. There has been a cap put in place. It's just not spelled CAP. Okay, it's spelled luxury tax.
I don't quite get the question.
Tom Ricketts said that Theo and company used some of their 2020 financial flexibility on a 3-year, $43 million deal for Craig Kimbrel last year. So do you blame Theo, Kimbrel, or Ricketts for this mess?
You remember opening day last year, we asked Tom Ricketts about Craig Kimbrel specifically, and he said it was too high of a ticket and they couldn't afford it. And we were pressuring him a year ago at this time. What did the Cubs lack? They need a closer. They need the back end of the bullpen help. They need a guy they can't afford because all of these budget implications, and they didn't have infinite resources last spring training either. So I guess that, you know, they responded to that, and they responded to that by going to get a guy that was identified by a lot of people in baseball, not just the Chicago Cubs, as being the answer to the question about how to address your bullpen needs. And so he didn't come through. He was a colossal failure. He had his worst season of his career. Was that related to the fact that he had a late spring training or no spring training at all, and he had to come in June and kind of irregular calendar? Let's hope so, and the Cubs better hope so, because they need to have a better guy this season than they did last season. So do you blame Theo, Kimbrel, or Ricketts for this mess? You could say you could blame us, or not us specifically, but you could blame the pressure that was on the Cubs to go out and get a guy who was known to be one of the best closers in baseball history to address the need to win now in 2019, last year. And so they spent the money. We didn't complain necessarily about them spending the money then. I feel like it's a little bit hypocritical if I were to complain about them spending the money now. So I think that the pressure created the situation that they responded to.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that that's accurate, David. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I'm just not willing to take any of the grief for that. So I'm disagreeing to start. But look, I mean, we thought at the time that they didn't have the money to do it, and the fact that they did it, they were kind of jumping into next year's budget, and we didn't realize that there was no budget then because they had used the entire budget to get Craig Kimbrel. at the time, it seemed like it was the correct thing to do because they needed help and they needed to put something that would put them over the top. Now, he was awful, and he was awful, and you got to blame him for his performance. And I don't know if it's his agent, whatever, why you sitting out, why you know, why didn't you sign a one-year deal? Why don't you do something to keep yourself able to perform? And hopefully he will get better this year with camp behind him. But he is an aging reliever, and you know, he's got a great career track behind him and a great back of the baseball card until last year. So I can understand the thinking that he was going to help you a ton. And we thought he would help them a ton, and obviously he didn't help them at all. So, you know, it's on the player when the player doesn't perform. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that Theo signed him, and he's the general manager. And Ricketts did not make a baseball decision. He loosened up the budget in order to let them do it because this was the piece they had to have, and this would put him over the top. And don't forget, David Ross was the guy that went out there and caught him and looked at him and told Theo, yeah, he's fine, don't worry about it. Well, it's on Theo, sadly. Whoever he talked to, you know, whatever guys are in his ear, whoever his ultimate source was, he's the person that signed the player. He's the guy that takes the hit.
I agree with you. I think this is mostly on Theo Epstein. Kimbrel was historically awful last season, and certainly he has to take some responsibility for that. But when a player is done, they're done. And you, when your body doesn't allow you to perform at the level that it once did, there's really nothing you can do about that. That's just wear and tear. That's father time, whatever you want to call it. When a player can't perform, he can't play anymore. That's kind of the end of it. And Craig Kimbrel was trending toward what we saw last year for quite some time before he even put on the Cubs uniform. I mean, the second half of 2018 with Boston, his numbers skyrocketed. He was pretty much benched during the second half of their postseason run. He couldn't really even get on the field during the World Series in what was a very competitive World Series against the LA Dodgers, and Kimbrel was a non-factor there. They knew that he was trending the other way. There was a reason he went unsigned for so long in Major League Baseball. I think a lot of other teams realized which direction Craig Kimbrel was heading toward. And the fact that Theo Epstein, of all people, who is still one of the brightest evaluators and executives in Major League Baseball, the fact that he couldn't see it for whatever reason, maybe it was just this panic move. They needed a guy in the bullpen. They had a little bit of money freed up, whether it was the 2020 cash or the Zobrist cash that we had talked about at the time because of his situation. It was a major, major misfire. $43 million for this guy that was just so beyond terrible last year. I don't think he'll be as bad in 2020, but I still think he'll be below average. I don't think he's ever going to get back to what we saw from him in San Diego or Atlanta. So I think this is mostly on Theo Epstein, a massive, massive misevaluation.
We are talking about the Cubs here, so there is some blame to be shared, definitely. Look, it's on Kimbrel, first of all, to be better. You know, he sucked. That's the bottom line. He did not perform. And you can look at the fact that, you know, he had a really rough 2018 World Series, and that he did not, you know, play for a big portion of 2019 before playing for the Cubs. But I mean, it wasn't for lack of trying. The guy was at, it's not his fault he wasn't signed necessarily, even though he had a rough World Series performance the year prior. He was at a high school, you know, trying to do workouts and things of that nature. He was
tutoring kids,
all of that,
helping ladies cross the street,
all of that. But the bottom line is he has to perform better. He has to do better. So that's on him. That's part of the blame on him. But it's also on Theo. As you guys all pointed out, it's his decision. He's the one that took the gamble on this guy. He bet on Kimbrel, and 2019, the way he performed, was a loss. So you just have to hope it's better in 2020. So I'm going with Theo and Kimbrel here.
I mean, it's at Theo's feet. There's no doubt about that. You know, as far as we were talking about behind the glass, and I walked out of the room for a second, so if I'm repeating myself that something was on the air, I apologize in advance. But wasn't it, you know, Ben Zobrist sitting out for a while? That money was supposedly why they were able to do what they were able to do. I mean, what happened to all of that? So I don't like the idea that they dipped into next year's pot, right? But I get it. Like, that maybe the 2019 Zobrist money was reflective, but now because they signed him for three. Listen, I don't think this was a situation like when the Bears got duped and traded up to get Mitchell Trubisky, where so like there were no other team. Other teams wanted Kimbrel. Other teams were willing to go 2 years. So if the Cubs wanted to get Kimbrel, they had to go 3 years. I don't think Theo got duped. Now, 3, 4, or 5 years from now, I might find out that Theo got duped. But right now, I don't think so. And if he ended up on another team and that team had had postseason success, we would be here today. I would be here today pounding the table. Theo, why couldn't you go 3 years? Imagine what the Cubs could have had. If we would have had that Craig Kimbrel on our team instead, we'd be going that route. So I don't think we'd be waving pom-poms. Gosh, Theo, you did a great job. You knew not to get duped. We would have forgotten that Theo was in the conversation. So it's all on Theo because, you know, he's given a lot and he has to do a lot because he's given a lot. And so expectations are high. So it is on him, but we'll have to wait and see. He needs to be good this year. The Cubs are going to be good. He needs to rebound. Big
he
time.
Won't be. He's not going to be
tomorrow. You also were the guy that thought that Javi Baez was going to.
Well, I also said that Kimbrel would be terrible and he was. So
tomorrow's
I think
5-5. Which Cubs veteran are they going to put on furlough this year to afford?
God. It's terrible.
Jason Hayward, if they're lucky.
Wow.
It's a tough one, Bruce. It's a very fair question and obviously a ripe one.
What do you make of Eloy Jimenez admitting he felt too much pressure and found himself pressing after signing a big money contract? Does it make you worried about Luis Robert? And is there any way to temper expectations for Robert, who will have the better career, Jimenez or Robert?
Wow. I was a little surprised to hear Eloy say that, frankly, because hi, Mom! He didn't seem that pressured. He seems like a fun-loving guy, and you know the pressure was in the back of his mind, and the pressure was more on him than it was anybody putting it on him. And I understand that he didn't play particularly well. Listen, if this is correct, and Louis Robert is the player we think he is, and by that, you know, I think it was Jim Callis I heard say that he has the fastest bat with fastest feet. That is the combination. He's a five-tool player, but it is the speed of the bat connected to his speed that make him a really special player. So I have incredibly high expectations for Louis Robert. I don't know that he can ever meet them. And again, Eloy is the guy that said the pressure got to him after he signed the contract. He compared his buddy to Mike Trout. He called him the next Mike Trout at Sox Fest. So, I mean,
he's putting pressure on.
No one's attempting to temper expectations with Louis Robert. Yeah. Certainly not Eloy, who had to temper his own expectations a little bit.
I like Eloy Jimenez. I like how honest he is. He's pretty loose. You're right. He had the high mom stuff, but he did press at the plate. And I think he's given voice to what everybody saw. He did not get off to the great start. And then he struggled with injuries, which is not something a player is ever going to acknowledge publicly because it sounds like a whiner. But I think that if he could stay healthy, boy, you start to wonder again what he is capable of. So I think he was being honest, and I think that it's a good reminder. You know, Robert is terrific, and he looks like a NFL defensive back.
Incredible.
And he runs like a guy who's going to be a base stealer and all these things with the power and the hands. And
the defense.
The defense is going to be phenomenal.
When you're comparing these two, I think Aloy's going to have a lot more power, but I think that defensively, it's not even there's not even a conversation to have.
No, but, you know, Aloy is going to hit maybe he's talking about 50 home runs or 40 home runs. So asking who's going to have the better career is like saying which vacation spot would you prefer, the Bahamas or Maui? You know, you're going to enjoy both for a long time, and you're going to remember both for a long time. But I think if you had to give the edge right now, based on potential, slightly, you'd give it to Robert.
I mean, who's going to have the better career? One guy's 23, one guy's 22. We're going to be looking back on this, what, 20 years from now when they're finally retired? And then we'll be able to determine.
We'll find out how wrong you
which
were.
Which one will have the better career. I'm usually not very wrong about anything. I think Eloy is obviously the stronger of the two. I think he's one of the strongest guys in baseball. He's probably going to hit more home runs if he does stay healthy over the full course of a season. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he hits 50 home runs like he predicted for himself already. But I think that as a well-rounded player, as a five-tool guy, as somebody who's going to have an impact defensively on the base paths, pretty much in every facet of the game, it would be Louis Robert. And yes, I can. I will continue to pronounce it that way, despite
I know
these,
you are,
these
even
gringo,
though everyone else says
whatever
Robert.
These gringos say on the text line.
Okay, and let me ask you, Kevin. Is he a 20-20 guy this year or a 30-30 guy this year?
let's say 40-40. Let's keep escalating a little bit.
I don't know how many bases
he's going to try to steal. I mean, it's kind of, you know, that's kind of one of the things that's been trending out of the game is it's such a risky play just to try to get one extra base. I don't know how much he'll attempt it. But, you know, Ricky, you know, if he wants to go old school and try to do that, then it's absolutely in the realm of possibility. He could be a 20-20 guy.
What do I make of Eloy admitting he felt too much pressure after signing a big money contract? Not much. The guy is young, making generational wealth, making money he's never had in his life, his family's never had. I get it. And I bet if you ask any young player that's signing a big money contract, they're going to tell you the same thing. So I don't make a lot of this. I think it's to be expected. I'm not worried about Louis Robert at all. I don't think we need to temper expectations at all. Both of these guys, I mean, they're both young, as Kevin pointed out. And look, the ceiling for both of these guys should be beyond the roof for both of them. If I had to pick, I'll say Robert. But this could be two superstars that are with the Sox for a very long time. And I'm expecting, I think we all are expecting amazing things for both of them.
I like Louis Robert. I'm excited to see Louis Robert play. I'm going to keep saying it gringo style just to mess with Kevin.
It's the only style you know, buddy.
Uh-huh. That's right. Gringo tacos, gringo pronunciations. That's where I'm at right now. Listen, this kind of goes back to what we're talking about with Bryant and Baez, okay? Let's hope that these two guys are playing so well. That's what I want, okay? I want these two guys to playing so well that there's a which one are we going to pay then $300 million to? Right, which one of these two is worth $325 million over 10 years? Which one of these guys is the next White Sox to have a statue put out at 35th and Shields? Okay, I don't know. I don't think Eloy really felt pressure. I think he maybe just said that to say that. Okay, I love the way yesterday we played the audio in the first segment of the show. Why not? Why not 50 homers? Why not? I love it. Okay, I'm sure he's there to help. They got a lot of people to help each other. That clubhouse is full of guys that know how to talk to each other, that have similar backgrounds, and that can only help. It can't hurt.
Wow, very tough question. Very, very hard.
As we continue to hear from players about the Astro scandal, which do you think bothers MLB people the most? The egregiousness of the orchestrators cheating or the insincerity of the team's apology? Will Commissioner Rob Manfred survive this?
I think the insincerity of the apology triggered people, and I think it forced them to look at Rob Manfred in a way that they hadn't maybe looked at before and kind of realize the compilation of things that haven't been done and the way that this is headed. And when he refers to the World Series trophy as a piece of metal to some degree, I think it really minimizes, and that's going to be a hard thing to outlive if you're Rob Manfred. He works for the owners, but the baseball is not healthy, I don't think. I mean, you could look at the numbers and spin them in a way that maybe says that it is, but it has a pace of play issue. It has an interest level. It's aging fan base. It has a difficulty reaching younger fans. It has a luxury tax that serves as a salary cap. And the comparison to Gary Bettman is an interesting one, Mully, because that's the other league with a hard cap that has, and not that baseball is a hard cap, but the problem with the NHL, with Bettman, is the cap has created situations where you get rid of players. They can't keep everybody, and they can't keep the players to build, you know, to sustain success. And we've seen that here in Chicago with the Blackhawks, and you're seeing it in baseball. When the Red Sox have to trade Mookie Betts because of budgetary reasons, and the Cubs are considering what they're doing with Chris Bryant because of some of the same realities, I think that there's problems for the commissioner. So I don't know if – I think Rob Manfred will survive this because he works for the owners, but I don't know that he's a very strong commissioner, and I don't think he's doing his job particularly well.
I think he could run afoul of the next collective bargaining agreement. I think, you know, the players really don't like him. There could be a problem there. It just seems like, you know, I agree with what you're saying. We understand baseball needs to attract younger fans, that baseball – has an older crowd following it, and the romance of the game is lost on some of the younger generations. And I say that generations, it's plural. But what he's done here is alienated the old fan base, right?
That's true.
The people that love game, the people that really believe in it, they're the ones that he's offending now, right? And that makes no damn sense to me. So you're going to keep changing the rules and keep trying to bring in new people, but you don't give a damn about what the older crowd thinks. That you know, the sacred nature of the game is being lost here. And I know it's happened before, and I get it, the steroid era and all that stuff. But this is a team orchestrated cheating. And there are people around the game that are mad about it. And when players are coming out and saying exactly the opposite of what the commissioner is saying, you know, you don't have to award the title to someone else when you vacate it. You can just have an asterisk and say vacated because of the cheating scandal. You don't have to give it to the Dodgers if they didn't earn it. But you can't just let these guys sit on the thing. And it was the insincerity of the apologies, because I don't think I was nearly as peeved about this. And everybody was say I'm sorry, mean it, and move on. And they can't do it now. They blew it.
Yeah, I think people are more upset about the actual cheating and the egregiousness and what actually happened with it. I mean, I don't know that anybody expected Jose Altuve to go on TV or on, you know, an interview and cry fake tears and act like he's actually contrite about this. These guys don't care. They care that they got caught, but they don't care that they cheated. They won. They're not going to have that taken away from them. Those experiences, those memories, that feeling that they had in 2017, that's all going to be there forever. They don't care. They're not going to be contrite or sincere about their apology. Will Rob Manfred survive this? Absolutely. As long as the owners still make billions and billions of dollars, which they will continue to do, Rob Manfred will be just fine.
The egregiousness of the orchestrated cheating is terrible in itself, but it is the insincerity of the team's apology that is just over the top and also gets under my skin. I mean, the jackassery being displayed in this whole thing seems to be unendless. And then you have Carlos Correa talking to the MLB Network and Ken Rosenthal over the weekend just lying his ass off. I mean, it gets under your skin. It really just pisses me off. Will Rob Manfred survive this? I think he will survive this, but as you point out, David, I think his legacy is certainly tarnished by this.
He will survive it, but he's heading down the path of, we talked about Gary Bettman's status. We talk about Bud Selig being a laughingstock. There's T-shirts where the commissioner of the NFL wears a big red nose, right? And he could be Pinocchio and stuff like that. Listen, these guys are in a tough spot. If you didn't give amnesty to the players, then maybe we still don't know about this, right? Is that the idea? But I like what Yu Darvish had to say. Like, he did the Olympic comparison, right? Like, take the gold medal away, right? You take yeah, the medal away, you put the asterisk, as somebody has mentioned. I've seen T-shirts out there, the Houston asterisks now. Mm-hmm. Little leagues are supposedly not issuing Astros uniforms this year.
In California, some places, yep.
Right? Because they don't. Right. I mean, I told you Thursday or Friday how embarrassed I was back then to wear that Astros uniform as a little leaguer. And I wouldn't want my daughter now this year on softball. Hopefully doesn't end up as an Astro. Might have to wear the shirts inside out if that happens. So it's just bad. Baseball
or just spell it different.
It's just I have fatigue. I have fatigue from this and a Dusty Baker coming out. Protect my players. Listen, they got it coming, man. They got it coming. And the idea that it's 29 versus 1, so what? So what? Then don't do it. You shouldn't have done it. Okay? If you're not going to have if they're not going to have their World Series title taken away, there has to be some repercussions. No repercussions? Just the embarrassment? I mean, hopefully every team will play the Astros like it's Game 7 of the World Series, and that'll mean for some exciting baseball, right? Every team will give an all-out effort. So we'll wait and see.
That's a crazy question. I ain't never been asked that one.
Can the success of the NBA All-Star Game help the Bulls lure free agents? Are the Bulls capable of making their organization seem as cool as their basketball city?
Wow. I wish. I really do. You know, I mean, it was a great show. It was fantastic. It was the end of the fourth quarter of that game. I mean, do that, man. Just do that. Just, you don't have to play the first three quarters. Just just do what they did at the end of that game.
The Elam ending.
Holy God, was that fantastic. And you have Chicago's very own knocking down the free throw to win the game, to seal it after missing the first one. Why doesn't he come home? He talked about doing it at home. Come back, please. Come home and bring everyone else with you. Yeah, the Bulls have to tap into this somehow. They have to. And it's there for them. So please tap into it.
Can they hire Common as a consultant? I mean, that might help be the first step.
He was a ball boy.
He was a ball boy. And the common theme, if you will, was that Chicago can be a premier basketball destination. They have to find a way, you're right, to tap into that idea, to market it, to package it, to present it in a way that really the NBA did in a six-minute video. Incredible. For everybody to see, everybody to appreciate, and I think to capture our imagination. What if the Bulls were able to lure people here to be part of this heritage and this tradition? That's the challenge.
As long as the three stooges of the organization are all still in place, and of course everybody knows who I'm referring to, even though all three of them kind of look like Curly, there's no chance that any of them are going. No elite level, top level free agents want to play here for this head coach, with this GM, with this structure. It's a total nightmare. No shot.
In its current state, no, the Bulls cannot lure anybody in, but if the changes of the front office that are reportedly coming actually happen, that'll help a lot. And the coach is a big problem. As our own radio.com NBA insider Kendrick Perkins has pointed out, the view of this guy of Jim Boylan is he's running the show as if it's a high school team. This is a big issue.
My question is, and it's 6 o'clock, so we don't have a lot of time.
What?
Can the success of the, you know, did Chicago have anything to do with the success of Sunday's and Saturday's All-Star Weekend? And I think that's something we should talk about.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!